Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Broadcasting live from the from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at the American Chamber of Commerce Executives Conference. This is the conference where all the executives get together. Most of the professional chamber managers get together. These are not the local volunteers. These are the folks they hire to run the chamber. They're getting together, and I meet with them every year, and we always have a great time. And so that's what I'm doing in Milwaukee. But right now we're talking to Jim Ostroff, who's one of the great editors at the Kiplinger Washington Editors, the people who produced the outstanding Kiplinger letter that has got a birthday coming up next month, 87 years, I think. And Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Jim, the big rock in a hard place that the government's between right now is how do they solve the deficit problem? How do they deal with this mounting public debt, our national debt, I should say, on one hand, and yet grow the economy on the other hand? And they seem to be having a problem turning those two dials in a way that makes both of them come out like they want them, don't they?
Well, exactly, and you know, in true. To form fashion, what the U.S., what the federal government is doing, is forming a commission to study and make recommendations. No, actually, though, it's something, you know, really a model that goes back to Ronald Reagan in the mid-'80s when he basically put together a Social Security Commission, which made fixes that got us some extra years. But that's what they're doing here.
What their goal is to hold the debt to GDP ratio at under 65%.
Well, yes, it is. And,
but hasn't that ratio been like 20% for a long time or something like that?
Well, it had been much lower. It's
skyrocketed in the last year or two, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, for instance, you know, in 83, you know, spending was a little over 23% of the gross domestic product, the GDP. Everything is just ballooning right now. Beginning with the Bush administration, then the Obama administration, economic recovery stimulus and slow growth, ballooning.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things you guys report this week that you think the commission is going to focus on, there are four areas you think they're going to focus on. Talk to us about those.
The thing here is, one is that they say to develop a plan to balance the budget by 2015, but excluding national debt. But that's a goal.
Right.
And otherwise here, it's looking to achieve what they call fiscal sustainability, which means holding the debt to under 65% of GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, to get there, you have to hit the big areas. I'll just say to do
right.
that, Social Security, health care, taxes, you know, and some other government spending. There are plans, you know, but they're going to be looking at here.
Are they going to touch Social Security?
You know, it's they will, or their recommendation will touch Social Security. Then again, it's a recommendation, but that just means gradually raising the retirement age to 68,
right.
And making some other changes over here.
Raising the retirement age, that's just a short-term fix that's not really going to be that consequential, I think.
And a matter of fact, I mean, separately, they have to do something on the Social Security system.
Right.
But, of course, they're they're going to have to look at health care, too, because gigantic expenditures here.
Right. Especially Medicare, Medicaid.
That's right. And
right.
They're going to balloon, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Just look at a few years.
Of course, yeah. Well, I mean, with the baby boomers coming
right,
online.
That's right. And,
yeah.
You know, it might say just all around belt tightening, particularly in the military. You know, but again, many of these systems, they're vital, but they're very expensive. Like, you know, the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter or the C-17 Transport, looking to reduce expenditures
right.
there. And then, of course, there are taxes. Always
the taxes, which you and I are going to talk about. When we'll come back after these messages. Jim and I are going to get into the taxes a little bit because, folks, this is the most controversial immediate topic of this whole discussion right now. And that's what to do about the tax cuts. And we'll talk about that with Jim Osterhoff after these messages. 20 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. At least the mystery is gone. Welcome back. 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. Lots of stuff there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Take our poll question, which is right there on the homepage. I hope you'll do that. I think you'll find it interesting and maybe even provocative. Every week we have a different poll question that we want you to check out there. And this week is on which political party or movement do you think has the best ideas for economic recovery? So check that out, and when you give us your answer, you'll see how the poll is going so far. And don't forget all the other things, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members, my blog, et cetera, right there on smallbusinessadvocate.com. Jim Osterhoff is our guest. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Jim, one of the things – we're talking about the four areas that the debt commission is looking at to try to hold down the national debt and to get the budget in balance, Social Security, health care, government spending, other like the military, and also taxes. And that's what I want to talk about for a second here is the taxes. The big controversy right now is, and the thing that's got a lot of businesses in limbo, Jim, is what's going to happen from a tax standpoint January 1, 2011. Are our taxes going to go up? Or are they going to stay the same? What do you know? What does Kiplinger say that they think they're going to do?
Yeah, we're looking at it again and again here. It's likely that most of the Bush tax cuts will be continued for at least 1 year. There's actually some discussion now, just this week, of maybe letting some of them expire for, you know, a small group of people, maybe for high incomers, and then continuing the rest into next year so that Congress will have more time to study the issue. But they
haven't had 10 years to do that already.
Of course, it's been 10 years. But,
so that's going to be the big one, though. I mean, are they going to, you know, and of course, there's some discussion about whether they're going to let part of it expire on certain income levels and not expire on other levels,
right?
What they consider the rich.
Right. That some more discussion now about saying that, you know, if a joint income above $250,000 or a single above $125,000, then the top rate will go from roughly 35% to 39%, but the tax cuts will remain in effect for others until next year when they can study it again. But the thing is that, I mean, they have to do something because by law these expire. There's even a possibility right now, we're looking at it, that they'll just be allowed to expire.
Just do nothing.
Do nothing, and then
if they do nothing, we get a big tax increase, Jim.
That's right, and
don't forget the death tax, the estate tax, goes from zero this year to
right.
back up to whatever ridiculous number it was before.
Well, that's right, and on the estate tax thing, I mean, there is bipartisan support for some sort of extension here, not allowing
yeah.
it to happen, but
right.
they haven't gotten there yet.
Move over and talk about the before we run out of time. Right. Let's talk about the energy forecast. And this is part of your beat.
Right.
Talk to us about what you've developed here for us on energy
overall,
as we go through the rest of this year.
Yeah, overall, in short, we believe that prices you pay at the pump or for heating oil or for natural gas or electricity are likely to ease off towards the end of the year. For instance, typical over here. Regular gasoline, which is a little above $2.70 a gallon now nationwide, we see it heading down to, it could be $2.60 a gallon. So,
right.
It's a slight reduction. And the same thing, diesel fuel actually a little more, declined a little more sharply. Generally, prices should be down. And one reason is that this is a function of the economy, of demand, which has been somewhat weak.
Right.
So
hopefully that's going to be good news on the energy prices. Yeah. And crude oil, you're saying, is going to be you're saying by November, crude oil may be below $70 a barrel.
Yes. And barring hurricanes or other bad things,
right.
Could be that. But
and you're saying the same thing for heating oil, electricity. You're saying those things are going to be
down
in a few months.
Down
slightly. That's good. That's good news for our budgeting. Jim, let's move over quickly and talk about there's a small business issue here on you guys reported on that more than half of small businesses are now operated out of the house. The homeowner business, home based business, that which I was once in my life.
Right, and again, important to emphasize, they're not just hobbies, that people do. These
are
not hobbies at all. These are real full time businesses. And matter of fact, we looked at it. Something over 6.5 million home small businesses really supply a half or more, of household income, and two fifths actually employ 2 to 5 people. And
Jim, there may be as many as 20 million home-based businesses in America today.
That is correct, and it's big and it's growing. Of course, technology, connectivity permits this. You can work from anywhere.
Right.
So,
Jim, hold on to that thought. We're going to talk about this some more, folks, and we're going to get over into another tax issue. When we come back with regard to 1099s, this is a very important topic you need to know about, and we'll do that right after these messages. Tintail, Jim Osterhoff is our guest. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Jim Osterhoff is our guest. He's with the Kiplinger Editors, and I encourage you to check out their website at kiplinger.com. They got some outstanding publications that you need to know about, including the Kiplinger Letter, the main one that Jim and I work off of every week. And then also we've got the couple of biweekly letters, the Agriculture Letter and the Tax Letter, right, Jim?
That's correct. And of course, we also have our Personal Finance Magazine.
Yeah.
And
what about that phone number, Jim?
There's a toll-free number, which is 800-544-0155.
Check that out, and don't forget the 30-day free trial that they make available to you, too, by the way, folks. Jim, back to the small business issue that we were talking about, home-based business. When I started my business in 1989, I was home-based. I had a regular office because at a couple of other times in my life, I operated out of my home as an employee of a couple of companies, including Xerox. So I already had an office, a regular business office in the basement of my home. And so when I did that, when I started my business in 89, I had some technology. I had a computer, but I had no connectivity other than the telephone.
Right, and I'm saying, of course.
I had a printer, and I had a computer, and a hard drive, and all that. So that was productive for me. I mean, I thought that was like magic.
Right, right.
But the technology has really allowed people to make home-based an option for a highly successful business. Sometimes home-based businesses have employees.
That's right. They actually have employees who may be working out of their homes.
Exactly, or across the country, or maybe they come to the business. I mean, I've seen places where you know they had enough room for employees to come, you know, and work in the area there in the near the home, and so this is the technology is changing everything, Jim, as we all know, and it's really making home-based business be an option. And Jim, the efficiencies that can be derived if you've got the kind of business that can be operated that way, the efficiencies of working from home are incredible.
Well, they are, and real productivity for you, you might say, and the business. and of course, not only there's computer connectivity, but you can do conferences, and you can conference in people. And I'm talking face-to-face, and the technology is getting better. I should say, we've looked at it here, and even interesting to note that there are various companies franchising home businesses.
Really?
Whether it be in a cruise planning agency you can get for under $2,000, or their lawn doctor, Jazzercise.
Right.
At least
right.
some of those service ones, which they basically say, you know, you can operate out of your home.
Out of your vehicle.
Right. You don't have to have an office.
An office downtown. Yes. Well, I'll tell you, Jim, if I had to have an office downtown, when I started my business, I wouldn't have been able to have done it. I couldn't have afforded it.
No, the overhead right away is too high.
Here, I mean, literally being able to be home-based in 89 gave me – I mean, I literally went from being an employee to being an owner in 5 minutes.
Right. That's right.
At 8:35, May 29th, 1989, not that I remember the exact moment or anything.
Right.
But home-based is a great option, and the technology has really made it great. And I want to thank you, Jim, for reporting on it this week. Jim, let's move over in the time we have left and talk about this 1099 issue. One of the ways that the government has decided, the administration and the folks who are the proponents of the new health care bill, one of the ways that they think they're going to pay for this expensive bill is by getting businesses to pay more of the taxes that we should by collecting on the 1099 reporting. As you know, Jim, every time people do business with every time you hire a contractor, you over $600, if they don't give you a tax ID number, you have to fill out what's called a 1099 form, right, Jim?
Well, that's right. And
which goes to the IRS to tell them that we gave those guys that money, so therefore it was income for them.
That's right. And beginning in 2012. Now, it'll be mandatory that businesses file a 1099 form for any supplier.
Even if they've given you a tax ID number, which should be enough, and currently is enough to prevent you from having to fill out that form. Jim, this is going to be a regulatory compliance nightmare for small businesses.
And, you know, businesses, and particularly small businesses, deal with so many others. It's their lifeblood, and requiring them to literally file a 1099 form, you know, for all of those suppliers is going to be a paperwork nightmare.
It's going to be a nightmare. Folks, there's a movement to get that amendment stricken from this bill, and so contact your member of Congress and talk to them about that. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Jim Ostroff, we appreciate it very much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, with the Kiplinger Editors. He'll be back next week. I will be too in the next hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.